Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laslotti.
Here we are, 8 days into the federal government shutdown, and amazingly, we're all still alive. Sorry to be facetious, but to hear the debate in Congress, one would think a partial shutdown of the U.S. government would lead to catastrophic consequences. The reality, as we're seeing, is quite different. First, it's important to remember that only about one quarter of federal employees are furloughed, those deemed non-essential. And if they're not essential, one might ask why we have them in the first place. It's interesting to note that this shutdown feels different than the last shutdown under the previous administration, and for good reason. The last shutdown was designed to be as publicly punitive as possible. We all remember the barricades around the Washington Monument and the World War II Memorial, the closing of Mount Rushmore, including the pullouts on the public highway near the monument, and, of course, the closing of every national park in the system. A friend of mine was out hunting and went from a gravel road to a single-lane road to a two-track road in the middle of absolutely nowhere when he suddenly came upon a sign that said that the two-track road was closed beyond that point due to the government shutdown. As though we somehow need the help of the federal government to drive in the middle of nowhere. We all know what happened. Veterans stacked the World War II Memorial barricades up in front of the White House. People parked in the public road and viewed Mount Rushmore anyway, and my friend ignored the sign in the middle of nowhere. That's what happens when government gets ridiculous and punitive. But the shutdown does raise a larger question. Are there jobs that the government does that could be done less expensively and more efficiently by the private sector? Case in point, the government has control of public transportation at every level, from city buses to international airline flights. It's all regulated, but does it need to be? Recently, I visited the island of Grenada in the Eastern Caribbean. It's an island nation of roughly 350 square miles with a population of about 100,000 people, with one of the most efficient transportation systems I've ever seen. Rather than buses that run on a schedule, their main mode of transportation is a fleet of hundreds of privately owned minivans that scour the streets in search of customers. You get on where you want, you get off where you want, and the cost is $1 no matter how far you go. The best part is that you never have to wait more than 5 seconds to catch one. Seriously, 5 seconds. And once inside, you're listening to reggae music blasting from the speakers in the company of 15 or more of your new best friends. A friend of mine once saw 23 people packed in a minivan. Some may see that as a downside, but it's island culture and everyone is smiling and extremely polite. Best of all, it's efficient, timely, and cheap. When you're ready to get off, you simply knock on the window or the roof and the van pulls over. It's a private sector solution to the challenge of transportation and requires no taxes, no public employees, and no expensive buses to keep it going. If the current government shutdown continues, it might be worth exploring ways that the private sector can take up the slack, and it may turn out to be more efficient, timely, and cheaper than what we have now. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslotti reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.